Hello, and welcome to Wolf Creek Community Church in Lacombe, Alberta. We exist to reach out and enfold people to become better disciples of Christ. Let's join our pastor this morning.
From John chapter 9. This is where Jesus heals a blind man. And so you might think this is a message about blindness. And you might think that this is a passage about blindness. And indeed, blindness is in it. But it's really a message about vision. The blind man's blindness was turned into vision. And in this story, you will meet a number of characters. And I want you to pay attention to these characters, because any one of these characters might be you. It's not this guy. I'm going to show this after a Bible reading. So, John chapter 9. This is Jesus. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, that this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" It was your eyes that he opened." The man replied, "He's a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered. "And we know he was born blind. But how he can see or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have already told you, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this, and they asked, "What, are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." The word of the Lord. So, quite a story, eh? I'd like to show you a slide about Simon Sinek. Simon Sinek, he gives a TED Talk, and 42 million people, or 42 million views. He was the third highest TED Talk last week. This guy is famous around North America, and everybody's paying attention to him because he talks about, and you can show on the next slide, he's got this book called Start With Why, and it's about the importance of why. And you can go to the next slide, and he shows us the golden circle. And in the middle of the circle, you've got the why, and then you've got the how, and then you've got the what. And he says, you know, the what is what every organization does. The service that they do, the product that they produce, it's the what. And then he says, every organization knows what they do. He says, some organizations know how they do it. So some organizations, they pay attention to how they make theirs unique, how they make their service just perfectly fine, etc., etc. But he says, very few organizations know their why they do what they do. And he says this, he says, the organizations that do know their why, that do know their purpose, are the ones that seem to do the best. Now, he focuses his remarks on businesses. But he got me, he caught me when he starts talking about Martin Luther King Jr. He says Martin Luther King was part of a group of people that restarted a movement in North America, especially in the States, a movement for something that was great and beautiful. But Martin Luther King was not the organizer, he was not the planner, he was the heart of the why of the organization. And when 250,000 people showed up in Washington to hear his "I Have a Dream" speech, he didn't say to them, "I have a plan." He didn't say to them, "I have an organizational chart." He said, "I have a dream." And it was a dream about justice. It was a dream about biblical justice. It was a dream about the content of one's character. It was a dream about children of all colors playing on the street together. It was a dream that resonated with the heart of America at a time when its vision was failing. And so a movement was begun because somebody addressed the why. Another story. I was a young elder. You can put the slide away. I was a young elder in a large congregation a long time ago. I'm not going to say how many years. But as a youth elder, I was very, very busy. And all the elders in the church were very busy, and our numerous meetings went on till late at night. We were so busy doing the what and the how, making decisions, discerning truth, seeking the right piece of the law, trying to do what was right. And we went till late at night, busy, 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 always. But that changed one night. Just for that night, one elder, an older elder, he said something about a visit that he had had with somebody in the congregation. And it was a tough issue where hearts were touched. And we as a group of elders and deacons were talking, and we were bearing our hearts. And it was a moment of magic. I can use magic in the loosest sense of the word here. It was a magic moment that for about 45 minutes, we got to talk about the reason why church is important, about the reason why we were doing all the stuff that we were doing. It resonated with everybody's heart. Not one person there escaped feeling it, knowing that we were dealing with something that was like right here. Finally, the chairman of the meeting said, "You know, fellas, we've got a lot of work to do. Let's get back to the business." And we all agreed that it had to be done. But the old elder, he said something. And in a voice that was really sad, he said, "How come we never get to talk about these kinds of things?" You know, and we all felt that sadness of losing this special moment where we could all have our hearts resonating with the reason why church was important. You know, and this is what Wolf Creek is doing this weekend. We're reminding ourselves of the why, of the dream, of the vision that brought this church together and that keeps it together today and that gives purpose to what we do. John chapter 9 does the same. It's a story of blindness being turned to vision, but vision being miraculously given to a man born blind. This is what Jesus was doing with his disciples. They saw the blind man and they instantly thought about the what and the how. Whose fault is it that man was born blind? But Jesus wouldn't be distracted from the why. The why of that man's presence on earth. And Jesus said, "This blind man was not blind because of somebody's fault." He said, "This man was here to display the works of God." Nothing less than the works of God would be displayed in this blind man. He had a purpose. He had a why. Blindness. Don't be hard on the disciples, I would recommend. See, they didn't have Simon Sinek's golden circle to educate them. But they did have the law and the prophets. You know, they had that whole Old Testament. Oh, I want to tell you what the Old Testament says about blindness. It says three basic things. First one is this: blindness is regarded as a curse. Blind animals were not acceptable sacrifices. Blind people could not approach the altar. In 2 Samuel 5, God's favorite, King David, he would not allow the blind and the lame into his house. But that changed, you see, because the Old Testament says one other thing too. It says that people need to look after the blind. And David, some of you who will know your Bible really well, led Mephibosheth into his table, who was the lame son of Jonathan. Deuteronomy chapter 27 says, it actually calls for curses on the person who dares to mislead a blind person. So the third thing that the Old Testament says about blindness is this, and this is very appropriate to our story. In Psalm 146 and in Isaiah, we read that the scriptures tell of a day that's coming when the Lord will open the eyes of the blind. The sent one will open the eyes of the blind. So when the disciples saw the blind man, they saw his blindness, his physical blindness, and they felt drawn to the judgment part of the Old Testament, and they seemed to overgloss the mercy part and the prophecy part. But Jesus saw the blind man, and his concern was spiritual blindness. And so he stopped the fault talk and said the blind man was here for the purpose of nothing less than the display of the works of God. You see, the disciples looked at blindness. Jesus looked at vision. The disciples looked for blame. Jesus looked for purpose. The disciples looked for judgment. But Jesus looked at destiny. The disciples were stuck in the what and the how. And Jesus stayed with the why. You know, blindness in this story wasn't limited to the blind man. In fact, there's a lot of blindness in that story that day. And there's blindness in our world today, in the church and outside the church. And so that's something that I want to just point out to you in regards to the different characters. And I wonder which of these characters might resonate with you this morning, because I think all of them resonate with me. So firstly is the disciples. Their question started the whole story. They were blinded by their concern about blame. Whose fault was this physical blindness? Like some interesting bit of theology that you can talk about. And the difficulty with this blindness is that we can talk about blindness, and we can talk about the law, and we can talk about judgment, and we can talk about theology, and not see that there's a blind person there that needs our help. We can talk about people as issues and forget that they're living souls created in the image of God. That's the blindness that they were suffering from at that time. They weren't the only ones. There's the parents. The parents of the blind man didn't want to get involved. Did you notice that in the story? They didn't want to get involved. They were asked a direct question by the Pharisees, and they didn't dare answer it, deferring to their son instead. They were afraid of what they would lose, and therefore remained uninvolved, blinded by their fear of involvement, just like us. Because you see, there's one thing we know. When we care for others, it might cost us. And we just don't know if we want to get committed to the cost. And so we can turn a blind eye. Of course, the Pharisees, they don't get off lightly in this story. We can't forget about them. They did a lot of speaking here. They were blinded, of course, by pride. They were at the top of the heap of Jewish society. They were the experts. They were the overseers of the people. They were the keepers of the law, the masters of wisdom. And they reminded the people there, they got their authority directly from Moses, who got his authority directly from God. They wouldn't let their pride would not let them even touch the dirt of the poor. But Jesus takes the dirt. He takes the dirt, smudging it with his holy spit, and he works a miracle. He brings vision to a blind man, fulfilling ancient prophecy, the prophecy that would confirm that he indeed was the man sent by God the Father. It also says much about us. You see, we are the children of Adam, the children of Adam, of the dirt. We are people of the dirt. And Jesus takes that dirt, and he puts his holy spit on it, and he smears it where? Directly on the blindness of the man, and sends the man off for healing. This isn't just a theoretical thing, you know. This is real. It's real for us. And it's real for me. You see, I was very spiritually blind a long time ago. And the blindness still infects me a little bit every day. But I was a busy young man. I was busy in leadership in the church, in the Christian school, like many of you are. I was running a business and I had a family. But one day I was home and my wife comes home from a meeting at the church. And she says, "Jack, we had a good meeting tonight." And I says, "Oh, tell me about it." She says, and I'm doing this because you guys are into spiritual gifts. She says, "We're going to have a Discover Your Spiritual Gifts workshop in our church." And I said, sounds like a good idea. And she says, "You know what? All the leaders are going to take it first." And of course, I was in this Christian school board at that time. So I said, "Good." I said, "Good, they should." And then she said, "And all their spouses are going to go too." I said, "Oh, that's a great idea." And she says, and the planning team, which she was on, is going to do this too. And I said, "That's good." I said, "I'll look after the kids for the weekend." And she says, "Oh, I've already got somebody lined up for that. You're coming with me." So she tricked me, that woman. And I found myself some weeks later at a Discover Your Spiritual Gifts workshop. And I discovered something there. I was really impressed with the scriptures on the spiritual gifts. They made sense. I remember thinking at one time, I'm an engineer for a living, at least I was at the time. And I remember thinking at the time, God thinks a lot like an engineer. That's how impressed I was with the teaching. And then I found, you do this test, you guys have done these tests, right? And I found out I'm supposed to have this gift of teaching. And I did not believe it. You see, I'm an engineer. Why did I go to engineering? Well, because I can do math. But I'm just very uncomfortable with people. I'm an introvert. And it's difficult for me even to make conversation at times. And I thought, I don't really love people. So how can you be a good teacher if you don't love people? But you know, the leader, he said, you take your gift and you go to your friends and you say, the friends who know you, and say, and ask them, does this make sense? And so I did that. And everybody said, no, Jack, we think you could be a good teacher. So then I went to council of the church and I said, you guys had this thing and I'm supposed to have this gift of teaching. I'd like to teach a course. And for the adults in the church. And there's a bit of theology I was studying at the time. And they said, Jack, go ahead, knock yourself silly. So I did. And you know what? I was looking forward to every Wednesday night that fall. I was having a great time. And you know what I found? People would talk to me after the session, and they'd talk about all kinds of things, personal problems and stuff. This had never happened to me before. You know what I found? This is the biggest thing, biggest discovery. I found that I love people. And I found that through the use of my gift, that Holy Spirit of God, maybe the Holy Spirit of God, mixed with the dirt of my humanity, and I was wrought some kind of crucial vision that I needed in my life. God could use me to display his works, like God can use any person here this morning. You are here, no matter who you are, no matter what you think of yourself, you are here for nothing less than to display the glorious, beautiful, healing, holy works of God in you. In you as individuals, but also in you as Wolf Creek Church. What a beautiful thing that you've been given. Yeah, man. This is why it's crucially important that churches do two things. We need to fight against our blindness. by confronting and confessing our sin and by submitting to God, submitting to our wives sometimes. But we also have to work to increase our vision, committing our lives entirely to Jesus. That's what this weekend was about. Seeking again to see, to find that vision that God is giving us today. That's what walking in the light is all about. And Jesus is the light of the world. Many people think that the world is looking for happiness. I don't think that's true. I think the people in this church and the people that live in this community are looking for a life that has meaning. And Jesus has a why. He has a vision. He has a meaning for everybody's life. And perhaps that's the biggest and most beautiful job we have, is to help people find their meaning. And they can only find it in Christ, because He is the light. So our prayer is this: God, diminish our blindness and increase our vision. The blind man in this story, I think he was the right guy. Jesus gave him a message: go wash your eyes. He didn't even question. He just did what Jesus told him to do. He washed his eyes and he got his vision. What a great story. He's the one that we want to be like. Wolf Creek this weekend is rediscovering its why, refining and discerning its vision, celebrating the heart that God has planted in you to be a blessing in Lacombe. May Jesus wash away all that obscures your vision, and may the light of the world, Jesus Christ, grant you His light so that you will continue to display the glorious works of God. Let's pray. Gracious God, You are the light of the world. Praise God. Thank You. May Your light shine in this place. May it fill the darkness, or dispel the darkness, and dispel the fear, dispel excuses, dispel our own sense of inadequacies. May Your light shine on us and grant us vision. So we say this morning, Lord, we are Yours. Do with us what You will. May Your Holy Spirit work in us and renew us and cause us to rejoice. May Lacombe see the rejoicing in this people and find their meaning. May this community know that there is a God in Wolf Creek, a God who loves them, a God who will grant vision, a God who will turn all kinds of spiritual blindness into beautiful living. In You we rest. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you enjoyed it and would like to be a part of our worship, come and join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. here in Lacombe. Be blessed wherever you are.